This is Tell Me More, the Sunday magazine on 101.1 More FM, WBEB Philadelphia. I'm Emily Scheibert. Good morning. This week, Peace Valley Holistic Center, helping families of children with special needs get the care and skills required to handle life's daily challenges. In this edition of Tell Me More. A new government survey of parents suggests that 1 in 45 children ages 3 through 17 have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. The Peace Valley Holistic Center in Chalfont, Bucks County is an integrative center combining traditional and holistic therapies, as well as a place providing education for parents and children with special needs with an emphasis on autism. For many families, Peace Valley is a last stop when everyone else has given up on their child. Using groundbreaking, scientifically based sound and light therapies, as well as nutritional programs, Peace Valley has been able to create a place for hope and healing for children who'd exhausted more traditional methods offered in mainstream facilities. As a nonprofit organization, Peace Valley Holistic Center turns no one away. They work to help families manage the stress of dealing with a child who has developmental deficits, and they educate parents about the child's legal rights for an appropriate education in their school district. Donna Marie Davis is the executive director of Peace Valley Holistic Center.
Well, we are a very important local resource, a 501c3 charity for special needs children and youths, and actually at this point all ages, because we don't turn anyone away. And we have three prongs. So the first prong would be holistic therapies for the special needs children. And then we also help the family members. So the second prong is to try and recharge the batteries of the parents and caregivers so they have something to give to their children and youths. And also sometimes there's a sibling who does not have special needs, and they may at times feel a little bit invisible, and we address that as well. And so we help the whole family as a unit, which is really what is needed, because it is the whole family that's affected. And so when you treat the whole family, there's more harmony and everything becomes more balanced. And we have realized that we didn't intend to set out to stop divorces and bring families back together in that respect. But as a byproduct, that is actually what's happened in family after family that has confided in us that they were going down that road. When you have something at home that is creating a stressor and it's not changing, the parents will tend to become very frustrated, and unfortunately they will sort of lock horns. And when you alleviate the pressure and the stressor and things improve, it gives the room for the door of communication to open, which brings us to the third prong, and that is a holistic approach to advocacy. So we build a bridge between the school and the child, and it alleviates the need for litigation, because what you're doing is you're talking to the parent and what the needs of that particular child is regarding their education, and then you're speaking to the school. And so instead of there being this adversarial relationship, a door of communication opens up and both sides begin to talk to one another, and things are resolved very amicably. So back to the first prong, which are the holistic therapies. There are things like sound therapy, which encompasses frequency, color light therapy, which encompasses the same frequency, which is why the two work in tandem very well. They're both working on what's called a Hertz frequency. So the color light therapy is affecting the frontal lobe of the brain because it's going in the photoreceptors of the eyes. The sound therapy is going in auditorily, so that's affecting the temporal lobes of the brain. And at that point, you have the brain trying to heal itself, and it works, but it's temporary, and you have to keep doing that for a certain period of time, which is different for each person, because everybody's different. And sometimes we have to send a child home with what's called a tone box, because it might take that child a couple of weeks for the brain to entrain the tones that they need as an individual. And the last component is a natural nutrition diet, which is tailored to that individual's needs. And that's why it works, because everybody's an individual and you cannot do the same thing for every person and have a cookie cutter approach. It just wouldn't work. Now, the color light therapy is actually Dr. Davis's life work, and that was actually patented last summer, so it's the only one in the entire country, and it's a whole room that the individual will go into, and everything is non-invasive, but we work with the doctors, and we believe in integrating everything, and it's always nice to try the holistic approach before maybe you get to the point where a child's going to be on medication for the rest of their life.
Let me ask you about that, because these families, by the time they reach you, have tried a lot of different things, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And they find you because they're not really finding help. I know one of the populations you work with is the children and adults on the autistic spectrum. But describe, if you would, what kinds of if you want to call them deficits, these children have when they seek you out. And what state is the family in?
Well, we have children and youth that come to us on every part of the spectrum. But the children and youths that really, really touch our hearts the most are the low-functioning children that are low-functioning on the spectrum. So when I say that, I mean that they are nonverbal, and a lot of them are at the point where they're going to be put into a residential situation, which is just another word for institutionalized, which means they would no longer be living at home with the family. And at that point, the family is beside themselves, they've lost hope, and they find us. And I'm very grateful to say that every single, and there are many now, many, many children used to have come to us that are nonverbal, and everyone that has come to us is now speaking. And that is a tribute to the work that Dr. Davis is doing at the center. And I'm saying these families are coming from far away. So they, like Hershey, Pennsylvania, and Williamstown, New Jersey. And we have one that drives in once a year because now they only need to, and they're driving from Boston, Massachusetts. So they're coming from everywhere, and they wouldn't be coming if it wasn't working. But what happens is we're actually sometimes the last stop. And now you see a family become empowered because now they have hope again. Their child or their youth is making progress. I can tell you about some cases specifically and some of the things that I've seen. And it's just almost miraculous, but it's very scientific. For example, one of the oldest youths that we've had come to us that was nonverbal was 13, and he was not toilet trained at 13. So his family had him in a diaper, and he had a jumpsuit that zipped up in case the diaper leaked. And he was going towards 300 pounds, and he was aggressive because he was frustrated because nobody could understand what he was trying to impart to people. So you have to imagine, it's almost like being in a cage, and nobody can understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you'd be frustrated too. And then when, in two visits, this young man began to start his journey of communicating and speaking, and by the second visit, he could use the toilet and wash his hands, and he was put on a nutritional diet that was specific to his needs, and he now speaks and communicates, and he's still at home. And the family, like I was saying in the beginning, it alleviates all of this stress, and things calm down. You know, things become more copacetic, And it's just a calmer, because you're releasing tension, so it's a calmer atmosphere. Nobody's afraid anymore because, unfortunately, because this young man was so large, the family was becoming afraid. So that's just one instance. And then we have, you know, children that are young. And actually, the younger the child is, the easier it is to help them, because they don't have habits and things that they're trying to compensate with at that point. So a child that's five that's come to us that's nonverbal, for example, I'm thinking of one specific individual, and his first word was home, and it was said in our color light therapy room. And I can't tell you how affected his father was at hearing his son's first word. He was just in tears, but they were happy tears. And his son hugged him for the first time. And what's amazing to me is this is not an anomaly. So it's not as if there's one story, two stories. This is across the board. It's the same story for many, 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 many different children and youth. Each year we try and honor the child or youth that's made the most progress. We have a fundraiser once a year, and we honor that child or youth, which is very, very hard. Actually, this year is one of the hardest times because we had two that were so close that we're giving out two awards this year. To see, oh my gosh, the child or the youth light up. And it's interesting. We've had a lot of them, without us asking, make posters of all the things that they can do now and show everyone. And they're so excited because they feel so accomplished, because these are things that we take for granted, like bowling or karate or Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, having friends come over and sleep over, doing well in school, getting good grades. We sort of take that for granted, and these children make posters to show everyone what they can do now that they were told they'd never be able to do, which upsets me. They should never be told, you'll never be able to do this. Because I've watched all these children that have been told, you'll never be able to speak. You'll never be able to stay in school. You have such a low IQ that I don't even want to say what one child was told. And that particular child now writes poetry, uses a computer, and she's extremely intelligent. And she was told she had extremely low IQ of below 60, which was a fallacy. It's just that she couldn't speak. She was not able to communicate, and they just thought, had a perception of her that was completely not true.
Donna Marie, why is it that there's still so much we don't understand about the autism spectrum and this kind of brain disorder where children might end up at age 13 still in a diaper? Why is it that we're still struggling with this? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of hope on your end, and yet there's not a lot of consensus as to how to treat these children who are in great distress.
You know, they are all individuals, so they can't completely be treated exactly the same. So you have to have somebody like Dr. Davis that's willing to go all through their past records, school, health, medical, and see if there's anything that slips through the cracks. And then take the time to understand that individual and what do they need in particular. And then the sound therapy, what that's like is your voice is like a fingerprint or a thumbprint. So there's no two voices are alike. And you speak into a microphone. If the child's nonverbal, we just need an 18-second voice print. And then it goes through what's called the Merck manual, goes through a computer program. And then you see it's a diagnostic tool, and you can actually see a printout of what's going on in the brain. And each spike or gap correlates to the Merck manual. And it will actually let us know what is their body absorbing and what is their body not absorbing? Because the parent might be trying their best to make sure that child's eating right and maybe eating organically, which is the best way. But maybe that child's not absorbing it, so we have to figure out, Dr. Davis will know what foods to eat together so that the body will absorb it. And it's as if the food is medicine, and because it breaks down into a chemical. So that's sort of part of the key, making sure that that child's eating what that body needs and then healing the brain along with it. The children and the parents that are committed and make sure that they're doing and going through the program consistently are the children that improve the most. And if the parents bring the children sporadically, the child still improves, but not as much as the child that is coming consistently. One of my favorites is a young lady that came to us from Reading, Pennsylvania, and her school, like many others, said, well, her school said, you have 1 month for your daughter to improve or we're kicking her out. She was going to a private school. And she came in the center the first time, and she proceeded to throw herself on the floor and take all her clothes off. And if you would see, and she was very aggressive, and she would, you know, bite her siblings. And it was because, again, frustration, not being able to communicate. She was nonverbal. And that little girl now, well, she's not so little anymore. She's a teenager now. She came to us at about 11, and now she's 15. And there's actually, she gave Dr. Davis a framed photograph that's a collage of all the things that she can do now, because the school had said to the parents that there was no hope for her and she needed to be put in a residential situation. She improved so greatly that that school actually did not kick this young lady out. And so she is still at the school. And she had never had friends over. She was starting to have friends over. She was no longer aggressive. She speaks extremely well. And she has pictures of herself making her first Holy Communion, going to her first dance, joining a bowling team. So all things that her family was told she'd never be able to do, never be able to socialize, speak, just be aggressive. And unfortunately, sometimes people mean well, but when they get scared, it's easier to give them a pill because then they don't have to worry about maybe they're going to get aggressive. But what's bad about that is, would you rather have a zombie or would you rather have a child that is flourishing? And this mom, to her credit, just kept searching and searching and searching. And even though she's all the way in Reading, she found us because somebody in her church happened to see our charity online and found the website. And that's how they found us. And each family finds us through a different route. So there isn't one way that somebody finds us. We have a page on Facebook. We have a website. There's a lot of awareness about us now in the county, and which is great. So the word has kind of spread. But we're still a nice kept secret because it's not like we advertise or anything like that. And we have lots of children and families. There's no lack of children and families coming to us that need help, that's for sure. Right now there's, I think we're 2 weeks out as far as trying to give somebody an appointment. That's because it works. And to the family, it's like a miracle. But like I said earlier, it's maybe in some respects it is, but it's extremely scientific. And believe me, the color light therapy room, the patent that Dr. Davis has now for that, that was something that was vetted internationally, and that took 4 years. And it's definitely an achievement, and it's actually one of my favorite rooms at the center because I've actually watched children go in there that couldn't take a directive, and they're running around, and they want to hide under the steps because it's an old stone farmhouse. And then they go in that room, and they calm down, and they're happy, and it's nothing invasive at all. It's basically four light boxes with natural lighting, with 2,000 luxes, so units of light, and it's assimilating a sunrise and a sunset in the same room. And there's so much, there's 25 years of research that went into that. And it's amazing to watch what happens. It just is astonishing. And sometimes I wonder if one of the reasons it works so well is because we've become such a technological society and almost disconnected and staying in, and the children are playing video games. And I'm a little older, so I was of the generation we used to go outside and, you know, go try and catch butterflies and lightning bugs and things like that. So, and the children aren't as outside as much. So I always wonder if that's part of why this room has such an effect on everyone, is it's like the outside being inside.
Donna Marie, do you face a lot of skepticism? Do you have people who want to question your techniques there? I mean, they can't argue with the results that you've gotten. But do you have to sort of defend what you do? Or are people beginning to really kind of understand that if it works, it works?
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was such an uphill battle because it was so hard for anybody to believe that this was actually going to work and was working. But now it is so much easier because I think probably you're right. It probably is in part because of the measurable outcomes. But I think also that there's just so many people it's helped now that there's just more of an awareness and a more of an understanding, and people's minds are more open now. And I have to give some of the thanks to Dr. Oz, because by that show being on, I think it's helped open people's minds to things that are more natural and more holistic. But you also have to beware, because I know that we are genuine and authentic and that what we do works, and it's wonderful, and it's true, and it's real. But I would tell parents to be careful, because I'm sure there are some things out there that maybe are not so authentic and not so genuine and not so scientific, and maybe just a way to try and pick the parent's pocket, knowing that the parent is in a desperate situation. And see, and that's part of the thing that makes us different as well, because we're a charity. So we operate on donations and grants, so it's what the parent can afford. And then we have some children that are receiving grants, which that's one of the reasons we have the big fundraiser every year, is for the grants. So that component's completely taken out of the equation in our instance.
If you would tell us about the fundraiser that's coming up that supports the great work that you do. It's a wonderful festival you have every year at this time.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun, and we call it Wine Fest. So this year it's Wine Fest 2017. This is our seventh year of having the fundraiser, and it's at Crossing Vineyards and Winery, which is in Newtown, which is maybe 5 minutes from New Hope, as a point of reference. And it's on October 21st. It's from 2 to 5 p.m. The volunteers in the kitchen make all kinds of delicious tastings, which are served by volunteers for 3 full hours. There's a wine bar. There's a live auction, a silent auction. There's 2 live bands. There's a dance floor. We always like to change it a little each year. So this year there's going to be a s'mores station outside at a fire pit. There's going to be an ice cream sandwich station. And we have a surprise guest coming, and they are actually going to be our live auctioneer this year.
How would somebody find out more?
On Crossing Vineyards and Winery's website, and they would go under public events, and we're listed on that page, and they could actually purchase tickets online. They're $35 a ticket if it's purchased before October 21st. If you buy it at the door, it would be $40. And we're selling the tickets at the center as well.
And if somebody would like to learn more about Peace Valley, what's your web address?
It's www.peacevalleyholistic.org.
Well, Donna Marie Davis, the executive director of Peace Valley Holistic Center, thank you so much for sharing the remarkable work that you're doing, and best of everything in the upcoming fundraiser.
Thank you, Emily. It was a real pleasure. Your show's wonderful.
Donna Marie Davis is the executive director of Peace Valley Holistic Center. For more information, visit peacevalleyholisticcenter.org. The 2017 Wine Fest takes place Saturday, October 21st from 2 to 5 at Crossing Vineyards in Washington Crossing. For tickets, go to crossingvineyards.com. Thanks for joining me this morning. You can email the show or browse the archive. Just go to morefmphilly.com and click on Tell Me More. For 101.1 More FM, I'm Emily Scheibert.